It's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke, and this is a special live forum from the Pabst Theater in downtown Milwaukee. Project Milwaukee, State of Upheaval. Our guests are Milwaukee County Department of Aging Director Stephanie Sue Stein, Assemblyman Robin Voss, Assemblywoman Jocasta Zamarripa, Teacher Hetty Eyscheid, County Supervisor Joe Sanfilippo, GenMet President Mary Eisbister, and Common Council Member Malele Coggs. We hear a lot about outcomes these days, especially when it comes to public spending. Stephanie Sue Stein and Hetty Eyscheid in particular, as people who work in the public arena, what do you take from this message that seems to be, we want you to do a better job of justifying yourself and the work that you do?
Well, I think our justifying ourselves comes from the outcomes of what happens in the lives of people. In Hetty's instance, what happens in the lives of the children that she's trying to affect. In my instance, what happens in the lives of older people in this state who are extremely valuable contributors and growers of this state. And what has happened in their lives has been a complete betrayal of what they thought they had and what indeed Governor Walker ran on, which was a certainty in a long-term care system called family care, which was the continuation of a drug program called senior care, which the legislature put back in after Governor Walker took it out, which was non-indexing of the homestead tax credit, which was in fact a tax increase on older people and lower income people. But the worst outcome is the voter ID law, which in fact is going to lead to the disenfranchising of older voters. And that, in my opinion, is an outcome that I and everybody I work with is going to try and stop. But there will be older people who have voted their entire lives who will not be able to vote in this state because of this bill.
Hetty Eyscheid?
I believe accountability is important. I believe all my colleagues and educators believe that accountability is important, and we have no issue with that at all. And actually, I would disagree slightly with Mary in that the system was broken. We had one of the highest graduation rates. Wisconsin has one of the highest graduation rates. We rank one or two in ACT scores. We continually do well on our AP testing. So we are doing things right here in Wisconsin. The concern that I do have is that when you cut $1.6 billion from education, you're going to see our schools suffer. I don't know how you can't. Our school district in particular had to cut, despite the tools, had to cut $4.6 million. It will be worse next year. I have concerns about how we're going to be doing the things that we need to do in our classrooms when we have less and less resources all the time. And I also want to just piggyback a little bit on what you said as it relates to, you know, what I see with my students in my classroom. I see the gap between the haves and the have-nots widening, and I see it every day in my classroom. More children on free and reduced lunch, more children taking advantage of the breakfast program. I stepped away from the classroom for 6 years to do some curriculum support work. When I left my building, we didn't have a breakfast program. 6 years later, I'm back. We have one that's used regularly, consistently, and by a good number of children. I'm seeing children being evicted from their homes, children and family being evicted from their homes. One such it's happening to a student in my classroom right now. The children have less, and their families have less, and their ability to be able to learn and grow is impacted by what is happening in their families. And we see that play out every day in our classrooms.
Robin Voss, let me ask you this question. Are we in the interests of reducing public expenditures, kind of dooming our public institutions not to be able to come up with the outcomes that we say they need to come out with?
Times are tough. I mean, I agree with Hetty that there are people all across the state who are suffering. There are children who are suffering. There are moms and dads who want to do the very best for their family. There's no doubt about it. The question really comes down to a basic difference of opinion as to whether or not you believe creating more opportunities in the private sector so that we have a chance to get better jobs and better incomes is the answer that is the one that's best for families, or is it asking the government to provide more and more services paid for by hopefully somebody? And I think that's where we really have to get down to. I think that everyone wants to have a quality of life to guarantee that people have access to the basic services. We made a decision as a state in the past decade to dramatically increase the amount of people who get their health insurance for free from the state of Wisconsin. Back in 2002, we had about 500,000 people who were on Medicaid. We now have about 1.1 million people, so over a 100% increase in the number of people who get free health insurance from the state. What that really translates into is that every single nickel of new revenue in the last budget went into funding Medicaid, and we still didn't have enough, which means we don't have enough for the university. We don't have enough for public schools because we made a decision without thinking about the long-term consequences of how are we going to pay for it. And that's why now we finally need to have an honest conversation to say we cannot pay for all of the promises that have been made by somebody elected decades ago. So we have to prioritize where our spending should be. I think we've done that by saying we're going to still have senior care. We are still going to have family care, but it can't be unlimited. We are still going to have great public schools, but we can't afford to say that there's no limit on how much we're going to spend because there is not a single study in the entire country that has ever demonstrated that the more money you spend, the better results that you have.
I think literally everybody on the panel is jumping out of their seat wanting to add something. Let me start with Stephanie Sue Stein.
Well, I just want to say that we used to be proud that we covered almost everyone in this state with health care. And a lot of those Medicaid programs are not free. People are paying huge copays. People on family care pay what they can towards their services. So in many, many cases, they're not free. And what I heard was priorities. And what I saw in this budget and what I see now is that children, the education of children, and by the way, when we talk about schools failing, we're not talking about Mequon, are we? We're talking about the city of Milwaukee. So how do we solve that? We cut enormous amount of money out of the city of Milwaukee so they can't provide good education. There's a real good solution to education, and we let people go unlimitedly to charter schools, thus taking more money away from public education. So I saw the priorities of A, scapegoating public employees, B, supposedly creating a better state for businesses, which we have seen no result of so far at all, and C, going back on the promises that we made to citizens of this state without hearing their voice at all. So priorities were different for other people than certainly they were before.
Hedy Ashad.
I agree that it is about priorities. And I believe that it should be a priority in Wisconsin to provide health care to every child. I believe it is a right that every child should have health care. I believe that public education is a right for every child. And I'm not saying that we need endless amounts of money to do what we need to do, but we certainly cannot afford to continue to have cuts like $4.6 billion every year from budgets and expect that we're going to be able to provide the foundation and the educational foundation that is needed for the workers that are going to be in your businesses and your companies. Cutting Badger Care. I believe it is a fundamental right that every child should be able to go to the doctor. I have students in my class who are ill, and I say when they go home, tell your mom you're ill and you need to go that you're not feeling good and you can go to the doctor. Sore throats, earaches. Well, we don't have insurance, Ms. Eichheit, so my mom can't take me. That's not okay.
Joe Casta Zamaripa.
I just wanted to respond to Representative Voss, and I think he knows that. I actually do admire the representative. I admire fiscal conservatives, and I appreciate listening to their viewpoints often. But we can't balance the books literally on the backs of children and seniors. With senior care, I appreciate what Governor Walker's done. I know that he's definitely positioning himself to be a champion of senior care, but the truth is that he did propose to gut senior care in the budget, and Representative Voss knows that, and it was because of the work of Democrats in the legislature making sure that we made our senior constituency aware of what was going on here. Senior care allows our senior citizens to access low-cost prescriptions, and they need these prescriptions because you can imagine how expensive they are every month for a senior citizen. And were it not for the advocacy, especially of Representative Andy Jorgensen in the Wisconsin State Assembly, the governor probably would have been successful in gutting that program, and seniors would have been in even more dire straits than they already are.
I want to get a couple more quick takes before we move on to another subject, before we move on to the end of the show. Mary Eisbister.
Something I'd like to ask all of the panelists is, who pays for all of this? At the end of the day, we would be heartless people if we didn't want to give health care to children and medications to elderly people. But who pays for it? It's business. And unless the state can attract and retain businesses, there will be no money to pay for any of it. And here is the crux of the issue. We can talk all day long about what gets cut and what doesn't, you know, who should suffer more than whom. But if we can't make this state attractive by making it, number one, stable and have a stable political environment, number two, make sure that it is business friendly and we are supporting businesses and attracting businesses to this area. And ultimately, part of that is having a balanced budget. Everybody is going to have to give. I believe that businesses need to pay their fair share of taxes, but they shouldn't be unduly burdened. And I believe that unless we fix that problem, and it's wonderful that we have graduation rates that you know, are some of the best in the nation, if that's true, I'm not so sure. But at the end of the day, we don't have the employees. They may be graduating from schools that are not sufficiently well preparing them to be the workforce of the businesses that we want to attract to this state. Until we are competitive and make it a business-friendly environment, there will be no money for anything.
Joe Sanfilippo, did you have something to add?
Yeah, the whole conversation started out really about accountability and prioritizing our spending, and that's what we have to go back and focus on. You have to, when times are tough, you have to prioritize your spending, because if you don't spend your money wisely, you're not going to have enough money to spend the things that you really need to spend them on. So you can talk about, you know, are we spending enough on education or not? Robin is right. There is no correlation between fixing a better education system and spending more money on it. And MPS spends more than twice as much educating a child as what they do in the parochial schools. My wife's been an educator for 20 years. They don't get better results. In fact, MPS's budget to educate 80,000 children is as much as Milwaukee County's budget is to take care of nearly a million people. So there is no correlation there. What it boils down to is accountability. We have to take a look at the money that we're spending, and we have to make sure that we're spending it wisely. And if not, we have to have the courage to be able to say, you know what, we're going in the wrong direction, and we have to change gears, and you're going to upset some people, but that doesn't mean you're against senior citizens because you want to bring in a program that we can afford to pay for, and it doesn't mean you're against children and education because you want to rein in the cost of our schools so that we're getting the best amount of money for our dollar. We all do this in our personal lives. We take a look at how much money we have to operate our household incomes with, and we live within our means. And government doesn't do that. Government takes a look and says, we spent $10 billion on something last year, so we're going to have to spend $11 billion on it this year. Otherwise, that means we're not committed to it. But we don't stop to take into consideration who's going to have to pay the bills, as Mary said. And at the end of the day, the public is tapped out. And it doesn't mean that you're picking on public employees or you're picking on any group or pitting one group against another. It's coming back to reality and saying, this is what I can afford. I have to live within my means.
Let me, because I know we could go on this topic for a lot longer than we have, so let me ask this last question to each of our panelists for this portion of the show, and I think it'll also allow you to weigh in on what everybody has said here. We heard a lot of the debate over the past year framed in the context of people paying their fair share, whether it means business paying more or whether it means regular people paying more or what have you. What do you think the concept of shared sacrifice should look like? And we'll just start with Malele Coggs and work down the list, and we about 45 seconds for each of you on this.
Given the conditions not just of the economy in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout this country, I think we all, businesses and residents alike, have to learn how to do more with less. And honestly, I think that's something that most, regardless of what side of the issue you're on, could agree with. It's just like in a home when you make some sacrifices today so that you can have a better tomorrow, or you make smarter decisions that will lead you to a better tomorrow. I think, though, that the key is balance. If you look at the majority of legislation that has come through the state, since January, if you look at who's registered as lobbyists for it, Overwhelmingly, it is people affiliated with corporations. Although we need balance, and although you got to attract businesses and all of that, if the federal government and what has happened in this country with all the tax cuts for the wealthy, with all the assistance for businesses, we're still in the recession that we're in. So just like people feel like we can't just keep giving and giving for education and all of that without doing some things for businesses, we can't just be doing everything for business and think that the education of our children, taking care of our elderly, and all of that can go by the wayside. There has to be some balance. And right now in Wisconsin, it is out of balance. Just as those who support Governor Walker and think that he's doing all these great things for businesses with a whole bunch of jobs that most of us are still yet to see, you can't do that and leave children, elderly, people of color, all of that behind. There has to be a balance for us to get to a better place. And if looking at those lobby registries is showing us anything, much of these decisions are being led and fought for by private business.
And I'm going to ask everybody to do more with less time now. Mary Eisbister, if you could go quickly.
Sure. I know a lot of my business colleagues shiver every time I say this, but I really believe that business should pay its fair share of taxes. And personally, my husband and I and our business, we're in the highest tax bracket, and I don't resent paying that one bit. The issue I have is how that money is being spent. And as a business owner, I want to be sure that I'm getting the best return on my investment. And I truly believe that there are issues in both how our government runs, how our education system runs, how a lot of our public institutions run, that are not the way a good functioning business should run. There is a lot of waste, and there's a lot of things that could be done differently to spend the money more effectively. So I will pay my taxes all day long. I would like to have a say in how that money is spent and make sure that it's being spent effectively.
Joe Sanfilippo, shared sacrifice in 30 seconds or less.
Right now we have a condition in this country where you have half of the people in this country are paying for government, and half of the people in this country are living off of the government. That needs to change, and until that happens, we're going to continue to struggle to provide the services that are truly needed by the people that truly need them.
Efficiently put. Joe Casta-Zamarripa?
Supervisor Sanfilippo said earlier that we have to, households have had to make sacrifices, they have to budget so they can pay the bills, and so do we. So we do, but those households, they need to balance a checkbook. But I'm sure they're not going to send the kid to school without lunch money or without a sack lunch. And if they did that for very long, they probably wouldn't have be able to keep their child for very much longer. And so I say the same thing about us. We can't send the kid to school without lunch money or a sack lunch, or we're going to suffer the consequences ultimately.
Hedy Ashad, shared sacrifice?
I agree. It's about balance and priorities. In January, the governor made a choice to give billions in tax breaks to corporations and then turned around several months later and cut billions to schools. That's not shared sacrifice.
Robin Voss, who needs to share?
Well, first of all, we didn't do billions for corporations. That's not true. But what we could do is to make sure that we have balance. I agree with that. In the last budget, they had dramatic tax increases. We didn't have the money to repeal a single tax increase that Governor Doyle and the legislature put on because we did have that half of the equation. Our half of the equation was cutting spending. So I want to associate myself with both of the comments of Mary and Joe. We've got to find balance, but we've also got to say if half of the country is paying for the other half, that's not a long-term sustainable model that we're going to be able to continue.
Stephanie Sustein, can you do it in 10 seconds?
I sure can. During World War II, this country decided that we were all in this together and every citizen was asked to sacrifice for the good of the whole. It's the good of the whole that we've forgotten and the good of the few that we seem to be legislating for in this state.
That's going to do it for the live portion of our broadcast. For those of you in the studio audience, stick around. We'll be taping a Q&A session with your thoughts in just a moment. Thanks to our panelists, Mary Eisbister, Malele Cog, Stephanie Sustein, Robin Voss, Joe Sanfilippo, Joe Casta-Zamarripa, and Hedy Ashad. Thanks to the Lake Effect production team, Stephanie Lecce, Dan Harmon, and Bonnie North, Trapper Shep, Ed Mikowski, John Strelecki, Tom May, and Annalise Hensel also on the production today. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today for Lake Effect from WUWM HD1, Milwaukee Public Radio.